Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to All Master Podcast, episode 179 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today is a bit of a stitched...
What day is it today? It's Tuesday, isn't it? Monday.
It's Monday the 20th of March.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit... This episode will be a bit stitched together of elements of me and Sherwin going to the Triwiz.
Nice.
Which is the other recordings, like parts of it here, parts of it... Yeah, before and after.
The car recordings.
The car recordings.
Just, did you manage to do that on your phone? Because it sounded pretty
good.
Yeah,
my phone. Yeah. It's like, I pleased it worked quite well.
It seemed to work quite well. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't much road noise that I could hear. It wasn't raining, which is always a bonus.
Yeah, a free app. Use a free default app, like Voice Memo One.
Nice.
That can send it to you and that's all good. And this will be talking about Salute April 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't know what Salute it is the biggest UK wargaming convention.
Yeah, run by the South London Warlords is the biggest independent one-day wargaming and gaming event in the UK, its website says.
So it's probably smaller now than the is it, what's the board gaming one in Birmingham? The Board Game Expo or something like that. That is absolutely fucking ridiculously
huge. That's huge. I
remember a couple of years ago, I was talking before COVID, pre-COVID, I was talking to the guy that arranges the volunteer side of that, and they have literally hundreds of volunteers.
Mm.
They have to make it, have to give them sweeteners to make them do it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because nobody volunteers for anything in life anymore since COVID.
They really don't. As part of this Salute table, we'll tell you.
But the amount of, just to the numbers. So I used to work at Salute before I moved over to Chelmsford. That was because Selwig were involved.
Yep.
And did the Bring a Buy, which they don't do anymore.
I don't think, do they not? I guess they don't do it anymore.
No, because what's the faces, the people that run it? I think they're like a Clapham-based wargaming club.
What, the South London Warlords?
Yeah, the Warlords. Yeah, they're Clapham-based, I think, or that kind of. Yeah. And they didn't want anything to do with the Bring a Buy anymore.
Okay, right.
Just because it didn't really make them any money. Yeah, they made Selwig a lot of money. We needed so many. I think we used to bring down like 60 members to man the stall.
Yeah.
That's how big the Bring a Buy was. 60 fucking people.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the 50th Salute. Yeah, so that might well get interest as well from people because it's celebrating 50 years of the South Warlords running Salute. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
From April, Saturday, 22nd of April, from 10 till 5. The venue is the Excel Centre in London.
Which is just an enormous venue.
Enormous venue, yeah. And event halls N11 to N20.
So 10 event halls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a huge space Salute takes up, a huge floor space.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, when Britain has its arms... they have the arms exhibition, so they have it there.
Yeah.
So, people from all over the world come and buy tanks and shit from jet planes. That's how big these exhibition halls are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Paul's going to take a team, or he's part of a team.
Well, I'd say part of a team. So, Chelmsford Bunker, I guess I suppose so. I'm president of it. But, a club member...
Did you get voted in this time?
a club member is really, Some people are just passionate and keen on running demonstration tables.
Yep.
It's I think that's the highlight of their year. And it's you can't knock raw enthusiasm when you get it.
No.
And so one of the club members, almost independently, is put in the stuff that's needed to run a demonstration table. I'm going to help him out. I mean, I might have attended Salute, as a punter. But it's
you've worked. I took you to the Privateer Press, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, I've worked it before. I might have gone there, regardless anyway.
Right.
But I've found that it's, because it's a trade show, I mean, it's not often, because the Bring and Buy was really good.
Yeah,
as always, because you never know what you're going to find or if you were selling something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, now it's essentially a trade show, and it's unless you might find something you hadn't heard of before,
but it would be hidden in a million other things.
Exactly, and realistically, it's I don't remember there ever being like any huge deals, like as in if you were after something in particular, it wasn't any.
No, it was different. It was like event deals. Yeah, so there'd exactly. be things released for the event, or the big one would be Forge World would bring event models, and people would queue fucking hours.
That's right. Yeah,
to get Forge World
exactly,
models.
Exactly. Something they can't get normally, but I don't know. In my head, it like doesn't seem to really happen. That
did
much.
Did the last time we go? Did we work in Tesco's, Wayland Games?
Oh right. Okay.
Doing
a demo table.
What happened was Privateer Press didn't want to pony up for buying an event space anymore.
Yeah.
So we got put inside the Wayland shop, and the Wayland shop is like, it's just ridiculous. It must be about, I don't know how big it is, but it's like a local gaming store that they build inside Salute, and they have all the stock there, and they have Christ knows how many staff.
Yeah. But the date was very good for me. Like, you know, I should be in a better place by the time that date's on. And, you know, ultimately the guy asked, you know, and he was running a table that is obviously like I should be championing. And so the table is a big War Master and Man of War game, like linked.
So big, you're talking, I would say 12x4 or 12x6.
Yeah, so we ran it through like in Dave's like, you know, man cave, like, and
it's
we did
a man cave.
And he, you know, even though that's huge, he didn't have enough tables to actually stretch it all out properly.
Because all the sea looked like it was curtailed.
Yeah, exactly, and it was. You know, like, but what's pretty cool about it is that it is mono forces. So it is the Empire versus Orcs and Goblins at sea, on land, and we were like, right, here's what we've got. Here's the table. And Saturday was about creating the narrative scenario that it's going to be. So this is a demonstration game. It's not a participation game. So being a demonstration game is like, we don't have to worry about balance or anything, you know, it's like people will come along and see what we're doing, and it is great club promotion. So we'll have a big, sign for Chelmsford Bunker. We'll be in Chelmsford Bunker T-shirt. So people are like, oh, who are you? Where do you normally, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That is a great way of promotion. And the game itself, like, it doesn't have to be balanced. We can adjust it on the fly. When you run a demonstration table, you have to like request them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not automatic, and then you get. I think it's £10 to get into Salute, but you get a free pass if you're demonstrating.
So for a demo table, you'd only get like 4 passes.
Exactly. Yeah, so. And so that's what Dave has gotten. So, and 4 people would be about right to run such a thing, because the Man of War game and the War Master game are going to go on concurrently. Yeah, so one person playing War Master Orcs, one playing Man of War Orcs, one person playing War Master Empire, one playing War Master, sorry, Man of War Empire, and that would also then allow us to rotate a bit as well. So, you know, the idea is that at one point one of the four of us can have a look at something if they want to. Like, you're not tied to that.
Oh yeah. But being a demo game, you can just like go away for a couple of hours, leave 2 people there. Yeah. And you just play the warmest bit and we'll go for a walk.
Exactly, yeah. So. And I'll talk it through. So I'm providing the Empire and the Orcs and Goblins War Master stuff, which is conveniently like 2 ranges I've got painted. And we're not worried about equal points. Just play everything. Just put everything I have on the table to fill the table space. So
I need to say that you're going to... Can you post some pictures on the podcast...
Yes.
Facebook page, so people can look at the pictures if they want to see what's going on.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'll do that straight afterwards. And the War Master table has a very nice half castle, so it's using the edge of the table as
castle?
Castle. Yeah,
castle? Yeah. How are you going to get in there as Orcs?
So we'll explain.
He's 1,000 giants.
Well, we shall find out. I mean, like, it's an opportunity to try, you know, some unique things. So I'm just going to show Barry the table here. So like, there's the Man of War going into the War Master table.
Yeah. So if you can imagine, we've got like, I think that's probably even might be more than a 6x4 of water eventually when it's fully pulled out.
Yep.
And then it goes onto a little bit of beach.
Yep.
And then onto like some 3D grass terrain.
Yep, that's right, yep.
And that looks at least a 6x4 as well.
Yeah, yeah, at least, with this kind of bridging piece in between the two. So this is the castle. It's from Cromarty Forge. Yeah, so Dave's printed it from their SDRs.
I mean, that is a big-ass castle.
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah.
For Warmaster scale, you are going to struggle to reach this bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I explained to the other guys there, it's like, right, Warmaster Siege is his own, like, niche little thing inside itself. But we'll play, you know.
But you need sixes to hit anything.
Yeah, it's all fortified. There it is. Yeah.
It's like, so, how am I going to...
So, and then
those Empire crossbowmen may do some good work in this game.
Well, I mean, so the narrative scenario that we're going to go through is that, okay, so we were like, how do we relate Man of War to Warmaster? Because obviously their games are at different scales for a start.
So should we explain what Man of War is?
Yeah, go on, we better explain what Man of War is. Yeah, you start.
I've played a game, what week? Last week?
Yeah. No, well, yeah, against Phil. Yeah,
yeah, second game ever.
Yeah.
So Man of War is, what rate, 6 mil? I don't know.
I don't know. It's,
I don't think the scale even matters.
Is it in scale with itself?
Although it should matter because the weaponry is like beam weapons, isn't it? If you're shooting, you've got like fore and aft, and then you've got broadsides.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're in a line. Like,
Man of War is a ship game set in Warhammer the Warhammer universe.
Yeah.
So basically, same time scale as Warmaster, where you take a fleet of ships against a fleet of enemy ships.
Yep.
And when was it done? Early 90s?
Late 90s. Similar time to Warmaster, I guess. Yeah. Maybe a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Well, it's just nonsense as a game. It's total nonsense. There's way too much bookkeeping.
Yeah, every ship has a card that tracks its locations, and the ships can get damaged and like things happen, and that's how you track how they get sunk or not.
People complain about Warmaster's magic doesn't do anything. The magic in this is just lunacy.
Yes, yeah, and that again, when you finish talking about Man of War,
So you can do things like you can take wizards off a ship and put them on another ship, then because the wizards on the big ship. And you can cast a spell and six up and move into some little ship that you've just got to ram and kill.
Basically. Yeah, like, it, well, it's, I mean...
I so, mean, it's pretty hit and miss.
Yeah.
But when it hits, it's like, this so is
for,
crackers.
So for this narrative game, we're not even going to use Man of War magic. Like,
You're not?
No, it's like, it doesn't... I think...
What?
Because it's so crazy.
There's no range on it or anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's so crazy. It's just like... So, like, I've got a... Because Man of War is very good for STL printing. Like, people have done designs because the ships themselves weren't terribly detailed, really. Yeah, well,
the only thing that was intricate was the sails.
Yeah, exactly.
The ships,
which is paper. Coloured paper.
And the things that hold the sails up. What are they called?
Masts.
Masts.
So
masts and sails were the only.
So I've done a high elf and a skaven fleet.
High elf, just to cheat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't used it yet.
Well,
yeah, like I mean, but so this
because high elf obviously
have to be good. It's so much better than every other race.
Shoot further. Don't need
shoot
the wind
further,
to move
twice. Well, you can, but you can just doesn't matter really anyway. But the skaven fleet is absolutely trash. But yeah, it's got only three types of vessel. So, and you can only, like, the list building for it is ridiculous because you're like, your big ship, you're like, your Doombringer, so that's got a big bell on it. You can only take one per, like, unless it's a much, much bigger game. So it's like, that leaves you with two other types of ship of the line, which are both terrible. You're like,
you can't take them, nothing else.
You can't take nothing else. And it's like, so one of them, like, is basically got a huge sensor bearer, which, like, does some attacks. The other one is this gun, which more often not will blow itself up. You know, like... and it's like, well, great. You know, like, anyway. But the thing that can win you the game is the Skaven Wizard. Because his spells... Who wrote this? As in, are so ridiculous that you're just like... Because they're open to abuse. The way the magic system is you get a spell at a time. You either cast it or you discard it. Yeah, you try to cast it and discard it.
Do you?
Yeah, no, is it? No, but Skaven Magic's different.
Different, because we get like up to six cards.
Of course, yeah.
But Skaven, no. You get a card.
You get a card.
Do it all.
you're going to cast that or you're going to pass it. You know,
so you can't dispel nothing because you've only got this one card.
There is a way to dispel, but you stop. Yeah, anyway. And it's like the spells that like are meant to be not powerful, like Skitter, a movement spell. You basically, the spell says, you move a ship anywhere. Target the ship at any range. You move it anywhere.
And my big ship's got no oars. So it's only got...
worst of it is you can take... So a fleet of like ships of the line, so like probably the most expensive purchase, you can take the flagship.
Yeah, move it.
You can move it completely away onto the corner of the table.
So what do I do now? I have to abandon the other two.
Yeah, and the other two, all they can do, because they're not in formation with the flagship, all they can do is try to move that they can be. So they're out as well. So until they link up.
Which would take all game.
Yeah, it would take all game.
Especially if you did it against the wind.
Yeah, exactly. Of course you would. And running that one aground as well. You know, like, yeah, it's just like there's, yeah. And it was like, so you have to like play with the handbrake on in terms of like, right, what the narratively, where would I cast this spell? Not competitively. It's not, you can't play this game competitively.
Oh, no. Like, this is next level nonsense. Yeah. So I played Phil and I said, let's roll a scenario. Because we played without a scenario and that was horse shit. That was really bad. But anyway, so we'll play a scenario and we rolled the scenario up. And the scenario was, it's just like kill everything again. But with as much terrain as you could got in the box.
Yeah.
So the map is just absolutely flooded with terrain. It's like, this is just...
Yeah. I mean...
It was poor.
I mean, yeah, it's...
Nostalgia's a thing.
Nostalgia's a thing. And it's like... And it is a simple enough game, but...
Is it?
Yeah.
I find it tedious. It might be simple, but all the bookkeeping and you got this. You got to marry everything, so you got to have some way of identifying each ship, and each ship has its own cards.
Yes.
And you got to track damage on each pier, and the fires on each pier.
Anyway, so we. I mean, try it if you want. Yeah, like Man of War. It's like
it's free.
It can be. It's a free game. Yeah, like the rules are free online. You can print stuff for next to nothing.
Uh oh.
Yeah, that's your parking.
Well, what am I supposed to park? I've got a big... Oh, Arthur's just arrived and my car's
parked. No, Arthur's at preschool. But
that's... Oh, so it's an empty trolley?
Yeah, it's an empty trolley, yeah.
Oh, she's like bag lady. She could leave outside then if it's empty. Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Anyway, so Matt, I mean, it's a free game. I wouldn't go chasing buying metal stuff.
Oh my god, no!
Don't know. No. The 3D printing's like better.
Like the actual stuff's expensive.
Yeah.
Although you need a lot of the shit out of the box to play the game. There are a lot of tokens and shit. A lot.
Yeah.
You don't want to be printing these at home and cutting them up.
Yeah.
Because you need loads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you also need a decent printer to print the cards for each faction.
Yeah. So it's probably worth buying like the cards.
You can get a box set for like 50 it's probably worth putting.
And you don't have to worry, in like actually better to buy it without models.
Because the models are shit.
Exactly.
I think you get like six or something, or 12, and they're all the same.
Yeah, exactly. And they're low detailed. Like, you know, and then you can go on to Things Universe or like loads of places that do STL prints, and I think the prints are nicer anyway.
Or you could just... I think Phil just bought them from Etsy.
Yeah, Etsy. Yeah, that's where I got my High Elf and Skaven. Like,
so you didn't buy the STLs?
I bought somebody printed out. And it's like, the masks are obviously delicate, but they always were going to be. But, like, that's good enough. You know, very...
Do you think it's quite a fucking big thing to store as well, I noticed? Even a fleet, because it's 3D and the mass...
Yeah.
It's not like a small thing to store.
No. Anyway,
so out of 10, I'd give it 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's like,
if I'm being honest.
I mean, it's a laugh, but you cannot. Yeah, it's you can't take it seriously. It's like you just
It looks good.
Yeah.
If you've got terrain and stuff, but so did Uncharted Seas. If you ever played that, and that was a much better game.
Mm, I've never played it.
Much better.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Okay, so cat break over.
Yeah.
I won't be suing you.
Yeah. So the narrative scenario, so it would be, if the orc and goblin army manages to get inside this castle, then we'll rule that as a win for the orcs and goblins. And the way that we'll do the interaction between the two is that the orcs can like land their ships on the beach and then convert them to Warmaster units.
Cool.
So when the ship is beached on the is beached, that can convert into more units for the Orcs and Goblins. And we'll also have a rolling mechanic of recursion of the Orcs and Goblins. It's like, so when their stuff gets like destroyed on the Warmaster table, it can be come back on again.
Yeah, so, like, that's a good idea.
Endless reserves, yeah, which will...
Endless giants.
Yeah, basically. Or like, yeah, as in... Because in a siege game of Warmaster, it's very difficult to actually, like, for the attackers to, like, break down... You know, a castle wall and stuff.
It took months in real life.
Yeah. So it's like doing it on a Warmaster table is interesting because the defenders are fortified, which means that they're like, you know, hitting on sixes and that, you know, and there's just even regular Empire troops can easily beat back anything, you know, because they can't, you know.
Only... Well, you beat back Chaos Knights, don't you?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're not hitting.
So, the Orcs will have.
And you get no charge bonuses and stuff.
No, of course not. It's a fortified position, not a, you know. So the orcs will have some siege equipment, some siege towers, and yeah, it was just like.
And they don't even have access to flyers, do they? Apart from the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. But you know,
it'd be good fun.
It's not. So we make sure that the orcs can like do this, like as in terms of like land the. So the Man of War game is like a delaying action for the Empire fleet. Again, the orcs will have. Recurring,
yeah.
Ships. So when they're because they'll sink very quick, like the orc stuff.
That's ships that sink themselves, don't
yeah,
they?
Exactly. And it's like they're useless. And it's like so they'll
driller ships.
Yeah, bring them straight back on. There's obviously the game will be played concurrently, so the orcs will have some stuff on land already. But it's like we're not like one turn of each. That's not gonna. Yeah, you know, it's just playing the game. And you know, if we need to speed things up or adjust it on the fly, we will. Because it's not, it's just a narrative game, isn't that game for the sake of it? And, like, the Empire will have, like, the majority of their cavalry will be waiting to come on, and then at the right moment will say that, okay, now the cavalry has appeared here, and it can be, you know...
Doing the Gandalf thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because...
Can't have to the eastern door.
Yeah, because you can't have all this cavalry sitting in this castle, because where is it going to go? So that's how we'll do that. So if anything, the Orcs and Goblins, like if my Orc and Goblin army collection like was bigger, that would be better, but there you go, it's like it's using what we've got. And yeah, and I, in the meantime, I'm just painting up, doing a bit of basing on some ogres and just painting some Empire characters, just to like, again, we're not worried about points, it's just the for the look of it, you know, as in like to use some of these, you know, like nice prints that have been done.
You've got trolls.
Trolls, yeah.
New troll rules, so that's
nice. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, so it's good, and you know, it should be happy. Yeah, where will I be on it? I don't know. I could like do either any of the four positions, I suppose. And yeah, we're just playing it through. I mean, I think it's going to be needed more on the Warmaster table when it comes to a siege bit of it, because I'll admit it's like we'll be having to get the rule book out and be like, right, what happened?
What happens now?
And it's like, that's impossible. Like, yeah. Oh dear. That's
Have you got
like,
any siege engines?
So Dave is going to print off and like a three or so orc siege towers.
Right.
So, but you don't. And I said to him, just if you're going to do something, just do the siege towers. You don't need to print off little ladders or a batting ram because they're just representing the units anyway.
Yeah, you can just do it in your mind.
Say
can't you?
That
yeah.
Unit has ladders. All the units have ladders. All the unit, whatever gates to the front gate has a battering ram. We can, it doesn't matter. But the siege towers are a thing because a unit is inside that siege tower and they look good. Yeah, and the point of this is it's about the visual spectacle anyway.
We'll be in there. You get in before it opens. You know, mm-hmm. So like people
doing the demonstration are allowed in at 9 for when it opens at 10. And actually, that's
that's a really good
point. If you were desperate to buy something, is to go in. Be at the front of a queue before it like the tills
before
open.
Before you can get in. Yeah.
If we finish it, great. If we don't, doesn't matter. But with these, my experience with these demonstration games, sometimes you can bite off more than you can finish.
Mm-hmm.
But this shouldn't be the case with this one, I don't think. And also, because
it's not,
if it was a what's the other type of demonstration and
participation
game, that's. They can be exhausting.
Oh, yeah. I think you get like 8 people to help. But it's like full on.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think the best participation game the club has done was a Death Star Trench Run for X-Wing. So
right.
they did this lovely table of the Trench Run.
The Trench Run.
From these movies. And everybody who was participating got control of a ship. you know, like a X-wing or a TIE, and that you know, that was probably the best one we've ever done, because that fit very, that fit the whole participation thing very well. And it's like, with this, it's like, obviously I would take, if someone's interested in what Warmaster is or Man of War, I would take the time to explain it to them, you know, but there we go. Like, it's like, you know, it'll
explain Warmaster's free, and Man of War, you're gonna have to, you really are gonna have to spend something, aren't you?
What?
Like, for rules and tokens and shit. I mean, yeah. Like Warmaster, as long you can get the rule book free, and then you can, I mean, you can spend what you want on the miniatures.
Yeah.
The miniatures are not the money. The older I get, the more access to miniatures I get, the more I realise it's actually the painting that's the killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just if I'm doing it, but if I'm not doing it, then paying somebody to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Warmaster, they're both cheap hobbies now, or relatively cheap hobbies.
I think so. I mean, like, I think that you could easily get a gameable Warmaster army for £100. Like, you know, if you're 3D printing it.
Certainly, so, or 100, you could, £100-ish,
like,
for sure.
Yeah, you know, like, will it have every option you want? Probably not, but, you know, but then if you're spending 150, it would do.
Yeah.
You know, like, and because remember, you know, it's like, because some people's collections, like, you know, as in, they can't actually use all this stuff in terms of, like, the game is played at points value.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, well, once you've taken all the realistic choices you could do at 2,000 points, that's the collection kind of finished. But, so, you know, and it's like, characters are a perfect example of that. It's like, characters are normally the, like, the fun, that people make little dioramas out of the characters, and they're the funnest things to little paint. For example, like on this one here, like that, you know, this is a 3D print of Balthasar Gelt on a Pegasus.
Oh, I'm not going to drop him.
Yeah, you're just going to drop him. Yeah, like, and, you know, he really does look like the Warhammer character. And, you know, but, you know, an Empire army can have two wizards, can't it? It's like, you know.
And Gandalf's one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you can have multiple more wizards, but you can only ever use two, like, in a game. So the rest of it is just, like, flavour of the day. And this, in our little salute table, this is Gotrex and Felix. And we're gonna try. We're gonna try and shoehorn them into, like, the game somehow. There might be like a. We might set up a tavern on a road.
And they're just gonna run out and slaughter some orcs
with a
unit of Empire, like,
troops or something.
We're like
skirmishes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we'll make up some rules very quick on the fly for what Gortrex and Felix can do, of whatever. Like, yeah.
They were. That was Anklo, wasn't he? Did that?
Yeah. It's like, again, it's like, they look exactly like the, you know, the classic versions of those models that from the Warhammer universe. Yeah, so it's cool. Anyway, and that's all cool. So if you are in Salute, then come. I can't tell you where in the which table number we have, like, you know,
yeah, it'll be in the program.
We're in there somewhere.
So if you pay for a ticket, they give you a program and it lists all the traders and demo games and where they are. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, your table looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Dave's done a lot of work on this.
I mean, like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Again, this is, with this kind of thing, it's like 90% 10 effort. Like, he's done 90%.
Yeah, yeah. And all these things take one person to do a gargantuan amount of work.
Exactly. And he's there, like, he's staying in London the night before. And
oh, he's taking a seat.
Yeah, no, but he's, like, seeing some friends. He's, like, doing something social the night before. But he is principally doing that to be able to get to Salute nice and early. Because again, it's like he's got to transport this thing into it. So, yeah.
So what? Because he's got some 3D terrain. Did he make that, or has he brought that in?
So, like, in terms of the table,
table looks so like full foam built.
So obviously the castle's like from Cromarty Forge that he's printed and he's painted it. The roads are from an eBay like shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I think the rivers are as well. And yeah, and then he's gotten and he's had like the cliffs and stuff done by a buyer does commission work, so it's like,
okay, yeah, and then so, the rest is just a flat table, is it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But he's like, yeah, he's
put all together. Yeah, it's like
certainly gonna get some attention.
Yeah,
from a distance, it looks mad.
I hope so. I mean, like, if this table is the only one that is doing Warmaster and Man of War, then yeah, definitely by a simple default of being unique, it'll get like people's interest. Or, oh, Warmaster, I can't believe that's still played, or Man of War, vice versa, and it's like, yeah. Here it is, you know, like, you know, so, yeah, and it's a good thing to do. It's a good promotion for the club. Not that the club is, like, desperate for new members, but it's a good thing to do, especially it being at Salute. Like, Chelmsford is not a huge distance from where the venue of XL is in London.
No, it's quite easy to get to.
So it's like, okay, that's cool. We're like, you know, certainly a more local club than, you know, something that's a few hours away. Yeah, it's If you didn't have better plans, it's a nice thing to do on that. It's a nice way to spend a day.
Okay.
If I'm free,
if I'm free, I will come and explore.
Yeah, yeah, and you can roll some dice for me if you want to.
We'll see. So we're going to put the montage of yours and Sherwin's experience at the Triwiz now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I managed to get my mother-in-law, who's just about well now, although she's under literally every consultant in Broomfield Hospital. Because when you get discharged, they just put you in a million. So she's in heart consultant, lung consultant, kidney consultant. Yeah. Something like that. Mm-hmm. She got ill on the run-up. Mm-hmm. But old people do that.
Yeah.
That's what the hospital is for. So.
Yeah.
So that was me out of the Triwiz. But do you want to... Tell me offline who.
Yeah, I'll tell you offline. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I suppose you say it in the mission.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Hello, listeners. I'm not going to say an episode title because this might get episode number because this might get fitted in randomly. But we're going back old school, and this is Paul, and I've got a guest today of Sherwin Matthews.
Hello, my name is Sherwin. Today we're going off to Saffron Walden.
We're going to play.
Lovely. It's marvellous.
We're going to play in the Warmaster Melee, which Barry was meant to join us but couldn't. So it's just the two of us now. And it is a random doubles event where you will have a 1,250-point list and you'll get paired randomly with somebody else and you will both play together against two other people who are randomly paired and you get scored as a team, but you get a cumulative score individually. As far as I understand it, I think that's right, Sherwin.
I mean, I can do the silly voice if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, this is a super fun event, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
I looked at the rules. It seemed about right. I'm just going there to have fun.
Exactly. So we're going to record a little blurb of like what we're taking and why on the way, and we're going to record a blurb of how we did on the way back. Keep nice, short, and simple. Also, then to keep the files down so that they can be sent over to Barry nice and easily. So I'll begin. So you get 1,250 points, and you have 1,000 point limitations. So you can't have like it's within 1,000 point restrictions. I didn't want to bring something that would be a total liability to somebody else, to be honest. As in, like, I thought about it and I was like, if I bring something that's like really awful, then, and I get paired with somebody who wants to actually to do well, then I'll be like, sorry, I've sunk your chances here because I'm trying to play like some bad Skaven list or something. At the moment, the new compendium has like the new rules have come out, but the updates, like the army rules, that changes that have all been voted through, haven't been released yet. So. It's in that state of like them, as I understand it, like they're to be released, and coming up. So the work is done, but this event has got in between the two. So anyway, my point is, I've taken Dark Elves, and what I've done is I've taken the minimum of two spearmen and one crossbowman, as that's what you get at 1,000 points. Then I've gone very heavily on cavalry, all killer, no filler, two units of Dark Riders, three units of Coldborn Knights. A single harpy, and that will give me all loads of choices of like what to
only
do.
One harpy.
Only one harpy.
Just one.
Then I've actually gone character heavy. Three characters: a dark elf general, a hero on a manticle with a sword of might, and a sorceress. And the final 5 points to make it 1,250 was a sword of fate. It's only breakpoint 5. They're going to be bigger armies than me, and probably. But it is a very hard hitting like list with three units of. Coldborn Knights and a Command 10 General. What will undo me actually is scenery. If there's a decent amount of scenery that everybody's hiding in, I can do nothing about that because I don't have a lot of infantry. I don't, and certainly I can't shoot them out. With the three range units that I'll have, won't be able to do enough. So yeah, it's that'll what will undo me. If someone, depending on what I get played against, if someone runs into woods. And then I'll just have to look at it, I guess. And be like, oh well, like I'll wait until he comes out. But that's what I went for, and that is, it's a powerful little list, and certainly it will play very fast as well. And it'll be about me shooting off my bullets of Coldborn Knights into whatever problems I see is best
And yeah, it gives me quite a lot of toolboxes. I just hope I don't roll any blunders, because no, I didn't take a Scepter of Sovereignty, because at 30 points, like at small points game, I'm like, I don't like to take it anyway. And it's like, well, let's just not roll a blunder, shall we? Because I don't want to be killing off 80 point characters in such a small game because I rolled a double six. But that's fine, that won't happen, you know, and all ahead forward. Sharon, what are you bringing?
This is the Year of Albion.
Yep.
So the Year of Albion, I have got a similar thing to you, actually. I'm, I don't want to say I'm a skew list, but I am, well, so I've got a general, the mandatory thing, of course. I've got a hero, and the hero has a Sword of Might. I've got a druid with the Ring of Magic. I'll come back to those two in a minute, but for the moment I've got that. In fact, I have just got that, that's what I got. then I've got... I wasn't sure. I will come back to the list in a second. So, yeah, anyway. Four warriors. Two slingers. Just the two guys on a freestand somehow. And then I've got two units of wolfhounds. Two new things to the army, which I didn't think I'd ever find myself painting this week, which is two units of cavalry.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of that profile, but there we are. Mm-hmm. And then four chariots.
Yep.
So... in the same way as you, if there are woods, then I look at them and go,
yeah.
And
like, oh, yeah, imagine if we get paired together then.
I've got a bit more infantry to dig out stuff, which is on the plus side.
Yeah.
My break point is higher, I'm seven.
Yeah, I think everybody would be higher break than me.
Yeah, it's not filthy like your list, but it's what it is. Mm-hmm. But no, the conversation was one more unit of wolfhounds, for example, would push me up to break point eight.
Oh, okay.
But...
You went with the Ring of Magic instead?
I went with the Ring of Magic instead because I'd like the utility of being able to drop my Fen Beast down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Funnily enough, to think about your list, for example, is pretty much the thinking I had, which is if I get charged by a unit of Cold Ones, I can use a Fen Beast to drop that behind, drop
and
their attacks.
And the Fen Beast will be free. Yeah, like,
Fen
yeah.
Will be free, Fen Beast will drop down, like in drops all your attacks by one.
In this little event, like, I think Undead will be fantastic because if they can raise Undead units,
yeah.
Like, you know, there's no cap on how many units you can raise. Yeah. So it's like,
it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So yeah, I've pretty much gone with that. I've my real thing is that I'm taking an all human army.
Okay.
So that's what you're looking at.
So you're a purist Albion player now.
Well, I like the determination of man. In the world. Like, man's crap compared to everything else.
Uh-huh.
And I realise that all of my factions pretty much are kind of like got that whole vibe of them. Of yeah, I'm tempted to make a Kislev list after that. Like, I'm literally just running humanity against the things that are better than me, and go from there. So, but no, this year is Albion, so I'm experimenting with what everything does. So
yeah.
I don't want to dive headlong and go, oh yes, ogres, giants, throw everything in the mix, eagles, throw all this stuff in. I want to slowly build up my understanding of how it works.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, okay, so. Two like similar lists for weaknesses, yeah. But like you've got obviously the more numbers like compared to me because being dirty elves. I mean, I make no pretenses. I've chosen a filthy list for like just
horrible.
Yeah, like you know, as in if I you know I might get a chance for a win here, but I will give it a shot. Yeah, and it will be yeah, it'll be very random. As the point of it is, it's like don't know who you're gonna get paired with. You don't know their skill level. Get to quickly decide. Yeah. Like right, okay. Like I think they're gonna do the games where. You do set up separately in terms of one side left and right.
There's three. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, there's different maps, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, there's different stuff to set up with. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's one where we're diagonally set up and stuff, which is cool. One of the advantages, I don't know if you thought much about this, that you know of taking a fast army as we both have, is you can redeploy it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I mean, when the game like is set up, I'll just sort some questions of like, right, okay, we got to, you know, you're trying to break the opponent's overall army, but like, is there turn limits? Like, what is best to go for?
Well, I don't know how much you're familiar with it, but for the sake of listeners, you may not have looked at the
yeah.
pushback. So there's no time, there's no clocks.
Fantastic.
In this
event. Yep.
There is obviously a round time, which is roughly what it is.
Yep.
There's no scenario.
Yeah.
It's literally just a case
fight.
Of break your enemy. You break your enemy in terms of if you take out one player, then all of their elements are removed,
pushed
out. And then And then they carry on going.
Yep.
Obviously you get more points if you take out both opponents or one opponent, and if you don't take out anything, then you get points, tournament points based on how many army points you destroyed. But in terms of deployment, there's one where you're side by side, one where you're at diagonal corners, and then there's one where you are playing on a narrow table. Not quite sure what that means, so we'll find that out.
Long ways?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've, again, cavalry army will appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
So lots of interesting stuff to mix in around there. But yeah, as you say, it's the random draw and everything else. The games will go for between, I think, 6 and 8 rounds.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You just start rolling when you get to round the later rounds.
Got it, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to play around with. I think, yeah, again, if you're going to this event and you're like, oh, I really want to win, you're missing the point.
No, it's too random for that in terms of, like, you don't know who you're going to get paired with. You know?
Yeah, it's fun, like... Yeah, take something that's this is like for me. This is concept list. Take a list which is fun. Like, you know, if your list is I want to make a fast attack thing, go for a glass hammer approach. I want to have a grind list. I want to, you know, take that thematic.
I guess my default conversation with whoever I get partnered with would be like, right, we're together. Which one of these are we going to try and break first? Work on one person first, and then the other. I guess. Tag team wrestling. Who are we going to keep in the corner?
But again, if you're looking at that perspective, I'm more like the what's fun for my
friends. Like,
I don't necessarily want to. Like, that works, but if you're ganging up on someone, like, is that person having a great time? Probably not.
Oh, well. So,
is there a person who's not doing anything except moving their unit slowly across the table, watching their partner being destroyed? Yeah, it's up to you, obviously, you and your opponent. You can't be too disjointed, but at the same time, I think the important thing is to have fun with these events.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So there's 3 games, and then afterwards there's a curry, and I guess we'll be recording this after the curry on the drive home, or if we've got a moment like to speak about it beforehand, we might do. But yeah, speak to you all later, I guess.
That
came out wrong. All right, whoever's listening, we'll, you know, like, see you in part 2.
Bye.
2 of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? They're British, you know.
Hello! Okay, so we are recording part 2 of whatever episode we are recording. And it is me and Sherwin driving back home, you know, close to midnight. You know, like, dirty stuff outs that we are. And, we're going to record our little wrap-up of the event of the day. So, Sherwin, how did your 3 games go?
They were fun. They were exactly what I wanted them to be. I mean, yeah, the whole reason of coming to this thing, as I said, was you don't know who you're going to get paired with.
Nope.
Like, just turn up, have fun, try experimental or fluffy or theme lists or whatever way you want to look at it, but don't take it too seriously.
No,
that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
I had good games.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess you want to run now?
Yeah, talk sure. through your games. Right. Well,
I don't know end position, because unless you're literally in top 3, no one paid any attention to that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't in top 3. I basically, TLDR, I won 2, I lost 1.
Yep.
Overall. Although my army, I got broken once in the first game.
Yep.
That was it. So I was on the table for the rest. First game I was paired with Orcs and Goblins.
Uh-huh.
Which, there's a narrative here, which I'm going to tell you as we go along. So, I was paired with Orcs and Goblins to start with. Against, who do we play? We play with Jeff, and we played against Ryan, who had Kislev.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to forget. Oh, Murray.
Yep.
Brad North.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So played against those guys. That was cool. So I was mostly opposite Murray with the Norse army, while the other two faced off. Kind of interesting. Basically, we effectively, it was almost like 2 small games. Basically, how this worked out.
Which, is, for the most part, that is how the whole event worked out. Is 2 small games. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that is not the story of my last 2. So.
Oh, okay. Right.
But anyway, yeah. So that happened. That was cool. Very much charged down the table, pressured Murray in the deployment zone. He didn't really get very far out of it. You can imagine a whole bunch of chariots, cavalry, and wolfhounds sort of breathing down his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Managed to get a really, really... You know when you get, like, sort of go, oh, do you know what, I'll give that unit another order for fun.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. It's with a hero. He's not going to give anything else as an order.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just,
why not?
Mm-hmm. And I made a 3rd order. And because of that, I managed to get myself behind a whole bunch of the Norse battle line.
Uh-huh.
Which was quite interesting. Right up until the point where my slingers... the most overpowered unit in the game.
They are broken.
They're hugely broken. Decided that they were going to throw some stones at said battle line.
Yep.
Not only do two wounds, but then drive them back 10 from two shots.
Boom!
Into line of sight of said cavalry.
Uh-oh!
So my rear charge, suddenly for the next turn, or my point where they were going to cause a whole bunch of issues, then became, so now you're just going to get charged and murdered.
Yeah.
Now, at least on the plus side, that took Murray away from combat, but because it was two break, I didn't want to lose. And also, there was a little bit of contact with the Kislev army, where they killed two units of Wolfhounds in the middle. I basically found myself... I charged into the Norse line of my chariots. I did a whole bunch of damage, got within one unit of breaking Murray. But sadly, because I'd taken the attrition of the cavalry and the Wolfhounds, broke myself doing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
sadly, what it was. On the opposite side of the table, my lovely allies... they had a rough game with command and other bits and pieces. Like, unfortunately, I didn't see too much of what happened there, but I know when I kept on looking over, I'm seeing less and less orcs and goblins on the table. It was pretty grim. I think Jeff had some really crap luck with the dice.
Yeah,
but I think there was a chariot charge against some horse archers, which ended up in like pretty much mutual sword destruction.
It
was pretty grim. So anyway, that was game one. We ended up getting the maximum points you could do without winning.
Yep.
We took out a whole bunch of their points of army. But that was it.
Yep.
Obviously break. We then went to game two. So here's the interesting point. In game two, I found myself playing against Ryan again, which is interesting. So Kislev once more.
Uh-huh.
Paired with... who was it I was playing in the second one? Oh, paired with Darren, so Witch Hunters.
Yeah, yep.
Versus myself, Albion, and Chaos. Because obviously I looked at the Orcs and Goblins and went, you're evil. I should be paired with you. I should be paired with the good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys are human. They must be good. So we'll go pair with those guys.
Yep.
Sadly, I mean, I found out later on they're Chaos. Who knew? but anyway, for the meantime, we did that. Straight away, we set up, we rolled our sides where we should be and so on.
Yep.
And when my partner, Toby, and I looked at the table, we were like, right, you're Chaos and you're facing off against the Witch Hunters. That seems bad.
Yep.
And we're both fairly mobile. Like, he's got four units of Marauder Horse. I've got a whole bunch of cavalry and so on. It's like, we should switch sides. So that's exactly what happened. They deployed their army. We won the scouting. We put our armies down.
Yep.
They deployed, took the first turn. They immediately started advancing. And then our army just went... and just switched over.
Switched.
Just switched across.
Switch!
And at that point, the Chaos, over time, went straight into the... Kislev, who horse archers went storming forward into the Chaos. Bounced, unfortunately, because of spawn and heals and all sorts of stuff. They took out a bunch of Chaos Warriors. There was some interesting fighting happening there. But ultimately, they didn't get to do that. And then the Chaos sort of retaliated and wiped a whole bunch of them out. In the meantime, on the opposite flank, I had some luck sending my chariots into some horse archers as well, who kind of found themselves stranded in the middle of it. Did some damage there. And I also managed to get some chariots over to the Witch Hunters to do what? I think I took out like three units, but his break was nine, so that was massive. But
that's huge.
It's a lot of zealots. But the Witch Hunters were very immobile because there's so much infantry. And being Albion, I chucked my druid down the field, made it rain a lot, so therefore reduced the command. So they weren't really able to get anywhere very effectively. So that was quite good from us. But yeah, we broke the Kislev army, and then time sort of ran out on us. So at that point, it would just kind of become, we'll pause here, and we walked away from that with a win.
Yep.
They didn't quite get enough points to get anything from us. They got zero for that, sadly, because they didn't really do enough damage to us. So that's what it was. Then the last game, obviously having escaped my evil Chaos allies.
Yeah, yeah.
I found some knights, some Bretonians, or some questing Crusader knights, who were wearing all black armour.
Yep.
And worship strange gods.
Who demand sacrifice.
Well, I'm okay with that being sort of the descendants of Celts.
So you don't mind a sacrifice or two?
It's Celts, but the sad reality was they were also Chaos. I didn't realise
at
the time. That was unfortunate. But there we are. But he had the advantage at least of having four units of Chaos Knights.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right, okay, yeah. This is Ian's list, isn't it?
This was, who was I paired with? No, his name was Paul.
So oh, okay, right, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that was Paul and I.
Right.
Again, against Toby, my old ally. Yeah. Team Chaos, so obviously that's why I had to fight him, obviously.
Yep. Of course.
And Stephen.
Yeah.
So that was fun. So Lizards and Chaos that time.
Yep.
Versus Albion and Chaos. And, yep. And we charged across the field. We had some fun there. This one was interesting because right at the start, I kind of looked at Paul. This was the diagonal setup.
Yeah.
I looked at Paul and he kind of nodded in the direction of poor Toby's army.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Let's do that.
So basically, if you can imagine, Toby was in a corner. He had some awful, and I mean truly awful, like luck with his commands. Like those guys went first. We won the scouting again. He pretty much they rolled. Didn't get out of his deployment zone with any of his units, and he failed all of his command in the first turn.
Oh dear!
At which point, a whole bunch of Chaos Knights are, you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
And my chariots are ready to go. He then got another crap round of his second turn. He got another crap round of command.
Yep.
Where the horseman kind of limped forward and then stopped dead.
Yep.
And then basically got hit in the flank by four units of chariots on one side and four units of Chaos Knights on the opposite side.
I mean, there's nothing going to hide that, is there? Yeah.
No, so they went away. And at the same time, his Chaos Hounds, which had done a risky charge across the battlefield, they had one of the few orders he did have work well. It's my unit of Hounds. He bounced and then got murdered on the counter charge. So, unfortunately, he lost a bunch of stuff and he was wiped out. At which point, both of us then turned to Stephen and went that way.
Yeah.
We almost got 4 points for this one because we damaged Stephen pretty savagely. Because once those Chaos Knights turned around and went back again for some more damage.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the turning point was we realised we had to get four units in one turn, which we got. Sorry, three units in one turn, of which we got two and one skink stand prevented us from getting that second.
Oh, one skink?
One skink stand, like, which is sad because it was my Fed Beast.
Yeah.
My Fed Beast who turned up for this last one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Stephen didn't think to bring a dispel scroll. And I literally went, right, you have one stand of skink, I'm in combat with it, I'm rolling seven dice to hit because I'm pursued. All I need to do is get three hits with these seven dice and your skink can hit.
Yep.
And lo and behold, rolled six misses and a one.
Oh.
At that point, the skink lived, and thus we did not break Stephen.
No.
There we are. We still won. We got, 6 points in the system, so that's that. Most notable in this game, I lost... Oh, in case for the viewers heard the thing, it's below freezing.
Below freezing now, yeah.
But I managed to walk away from this having lost 20 points. You can literally measure it in corpses in 15 docks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So where did you end up placing?
I just said I don't know.
Fair enough,
Paul did... Jim didn't pass that stuff on. I'm guessing
somewhere in the middle.
Probably upper middle.
Yeah.
I got fairly good points for all my games. That was that. So it was fun. It was entertaining. I would thoroughly recommend this format to everyone.
Yeah, it was great. I thought the format was fantastic.
It was a good event. So how about you, Paul?
So I started off with my first game and I was partnered with a Chaos player playing against I was opposite Kislev and the Kislev and Albion. And Kislev was a good army that I could face because he'd made a mistake of setting his light cavalry in front of his heavy cavalry, and then hampered by bad command rolls, he ended up attacking me with his light cavalry mostly, which, you know, in a game where you've got very, you know, this short, you know, low breaks essentially, send in your best stuff first. I think that would be the best advice. So he had a big three cavalry unit charge on my cavalry, which bounced, which allowed me to, you know, smash up his three units of light cavalry. I'd also managed to target a unit of bears with a lot of shooting. Bears that went away quite easily. Poor bears. So I ended up breaking the Kislev player and then allowing me to help attack the Albion player. So we ended up breaking both their armies, for the full amount of points. My second round, I was paired up with, hang on, let me think about this. I was paired up going against the Chaos player that I'd played with in the first round was quite random. Yeah, it's quite random.
Same as I had. Just don't trust those Chaos guys.
Exactly. Who was I alongside? I forget now. But yo, so this the Chaos player had a very
Was that not the round you were with Paul?
Yes, Paul Gorbold. Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, well remembered. Yeah, so playing long ways on the table, and I was opposite against an Orc and Goblin player, like Jeff's Orc and Goblins. The Chaos player, just like as a point of note, he had a very interesting brigade of he would set down a unit of Dragon Ogres with two units of Spawn either side of it, which made it amazingly resilient in some ways, like on a small frontage. Yo.
Can you have two Spawn on one unit?
I think you can. That combination allowed, so over five stands, like in a ridiculous amount of attacks. You know,
yeah, that's horrific.
It really was. It was cool to see. So I was up against Jeff's Orcs and Goblins, and that game was playing lengthways down the table, so it was very narrowed it down in terms of like I couldn't really outflank him, and like my ally for that, Paul's Orcs and Goblins, like different Paul, had taken seven units of Wolf Riders, so it was like a huge amount of cavalry, with some Boar Boys as well, but there wasn't really flanks to exploit because of the narrow table and tarot, because we're going to lay down the table anyway. I pulled off that win by Jeff, who's using Orcs and Goblins against me, tried to funnel his three units of cavalry, down beside some scenery that my infantry was in. Anyway, my scenery won a fight they were attacked against and allowed him to fall back and charge two of his units off the table edge, which is automatic kills in, like, if you're pursued with combat off the table edge, you're dead.
Game over.
And it was a mistake that I capitalised on, and that allowed me to then break Jeff's Orcs and Goblins and help attack my erstwhile ally in the Chaos player with Paul's Orcs and Goblins. So we ended up breaking both them as well. Moving into the third and final round, and I was like, realised, okay, so I've got potential to win the event. It was corners deployment, and we were against a high elf player, a high elf and a vampire counts, and I had been partnered up also with a high elf player, and we basically, it wasn't like great tactics, but we basically just said, right, we're both going to go for the high elf player because the vampire counts player has less command ability than the high elf player. If we both steamroller towards the other high elf player, there'll be two armies that we won. We'll break him first. And also, I didn't think there was enough turns in the game for us to then turn around and break the other player. So we'll go for one. And that's essentially what did happen, is that, through a lot of, like, average dice at times, we both closed in on one player and then dealt with it quite comfortably, and broke that high elf player. And we never really engaged with the vampire counts. There was some cavalry engagement, but the majority of the vampire counts couldn't get across the table quick enough because we're moving away from them. And I would say that was probably a negative of the scenario, but they would have done the same to us. We just did it first, essentially. So that ended me with two big wins and one of the smaller wins for breaking one opponent. And I ended up winning the event. So no one else had got a score of 11, which is what I ended with, 4-4-3, for the points. And I took the win. Lucky me, basically. But each time I ended up playing against something I could play against. I can't claim, oh, it was all fantastic generalship. It was a bit of luck in the matchups, really, as well. I would definitely recommend the format. It was a lovely format to play doubles event. It was great to see 24 players because there were some drops as well. So there would have been more players, but there were still 24 players and faces I didn't recognise. That's really great to see some new players. And most of us went for the meal out and the curry in the evening. It was all fantastic. Like what you want from an event, really.
I like the format as well. I mean, exactly what you said. Because every round was completely random. Completely random.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good. I gave feedback to... I mean, I enjoyed the thing thoroughly. It was good.
Yeah.
I did feedback to Jim. I think what I would lean into more with this is
mean, obviously this was the first time I believe for Jim to try this particular approach. What I would do going forward for these events is really lean into that pairing system. The fact that you've got 2,000 point armies or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Like, make them have asymmetric beginnings. Like, make you maybe someone's under siege and there's one army on a king of the hill trying to defend against two, and then turn 2-3, like, a unit comes on as reinforcements.
Yeah, you know,
like,
exactly.
Sorry, your ally comes on there. Or just do it where both of you are starting off with one army, one player's going to go on for each side. Stuff like that. There's a lot of interesting ideas you can do with really working on that idea of I have 1,000 points set, these 2,000 point separate things.
Yeah.
So I would definitely look at playing around with some of those ideas. But yeah, it was really fun. Again, would recommend. Like, as I said earlier, it's don't take it. If you turn up to this thing and you spend, like, yes, okay, you always want to make a good list, and you talk about this, and you want someone to have a good list to play with. But
yeah.
The fact that it's so random, you can't really plan for.
Oh no, exactly. Exactly. Like, I was never paired up alongside a defensive list that had like artillery in it, for example. Yeah, exactly. Like, because I wasn't going to pair with that.
You didn't have a choice. You were just given what you were
given. Yeah, you're given what you're given, and
you weren't going to pair well with it.
It wasn't going to pair well with it, and every time, the three essentially opponents I faced against, because we didn't intermingle too much, were armies that I could fight, right. That's again complete luck of the draw.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm to look at my games, the one where I lost, realistically, primarily is because my army is very fast and wants to go and just really damage the opponent by just charging into them, doing a whole bunch of damage.
Uh huh.
My partner, by comparison, is very slow moving. They are very, they're orcs and goblins. Their command is not great. They can't do a lot of stuff. Yes, I could have slowed down, but at that point, you're really not playing to your strengths if you're out. You have to kind of go for the throat.
Yep.
And that's kind of what would have happened. So it's just, it's mismatches, isn't it? That's the point.
Exactly.
But at the same time, sometimes that leads to quite interesting things. So, swings around about.
It's all good. Okay, so pretty much, pretty successful little event there for us. We will leave it there. I put the results of the final placings up on the Facebook page. Thank you very much for the organisers, for Jim for organising most of it, and Janice for also sorting it out.
Yep.
Fantastic event, A++ from us, and hope to another event in the future. Cool. Thanks very much, listeners. Out.
Right, so we're back after Paul's and Sherwin's report.
Yep.
I still don't know who won because you haven't told me.
Okay, just recording it straight. And there's an advertisement I promised that we would do for the event in America.
Recorded.
Which I recorded and I sent to you.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything behind it? Is there any music or anything? Or is it just your voice?
No, it's just, it's me,
it's just me talking.
Okay, but we need to get out because it's time relevant, isn't it?
It's time relevant. That is out on that event is on the 26th of next day's time.
6 days time from now.
Yeah, from now. Yeah.
So okay.
You need to stick this up online.
I've got to edit. But yes, okay. I do that this evening. Yeah. So at least he's got.
Yeah.
For all our American listeners.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. You've got about 4 days.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. Okay, we'll play that advert now then.
Okay, this is a message from Andrew What a Lost Sky. I'm just going to do some promotion here. The Warmaster community in Portland is holding our second annual tournament this coming Sunday, March 26th, 2023, at Gongai Games in Beaverton, or Oregon, a suburb of Portland. Armies and rules per the latest downloads on normal https://www.mmrevolution.com. Armies designed or revised as developmental are allowed. Armies are to be 1,500 points, with unit maximums rounded up and unit maximums rounded down. All matches will use chess clocks. Each player will have 75 minutes to complete all actions in each match, or else be counted as broken. First match will be based on random pairings. Subsequent matches will be Swiss, i.e. players play winners. Scoreboard rankings are primarily decided on tournament points, 3 for a major victory, 2 for a standard victory, 1 tie, and 0 for a loss. While ranking lists, ties are decided using cumulative victory point differences. Scenarios include 3 of pitch battle, conquer, holding table quarters, meeting engagement, credit pool winter, deployment in six zones, incursion, credit per winter, capturing disappearing objectives. Prizes for best general, best table and best army appearance. New players and downloaded token cardboard armies are welcome. Registration is $10. That includes lunch. Registration instructions can be found on the Warmaster GW Facebook page under events. We are looking forward to seeing you there. So just a reminder, if you happen to be near the Portland area, you know, on Sunday, March 26th, there is a Warmaster tournament going on. And thank you very much for sending us the information to record that.
So Paul's just told me offline that he won the event.
I did, yeah. Yep.
So that's pretty impressive, sir. That's back-to-back wins, isn't it?
Because
you won one in Warsaw.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, last two events I've played in. Yeah, the events.
That's no small feat, sir. Well done.
No, it's not. But I mean,
especially as random, so you have to.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I've said in like the recording earlier on the one after the event, it was luck who I was paired with and what I was playing against into. So,
right.
Yeah. There's like yes, I did well individually, but. You know, that is the complete luck of who you're paired with and what you're playing against.
Well, and there's also an element of practice.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I mean, I hadn't used Dark Elves for a while.
Scepter?
Nope.
Yeah. Ain't got no time for no scepter.
And I never rolled a blunder until the last game where we'd like because in yeah. You know,
it was mixed
double. It's random doubles. So you knock one of the opponents out, and that gives you an advantage, obviously. And that happened in the last game. We knocked one of them out, and then
we're probably not going
to have the turns to engage the other one.
Yeah.
And on that last turn of the game, I literally rolled two blunders, one off the other.
Wow.
And I was just like, right, this character. I got three characters. This character orders blunder. Okay. That character orders blunder. Okay. Like,
so did you go to eight or did
yeah,
you
I went to eight, and I was like, because I was basically
all
like,
era,
so
all general.
That's my Dark Elves ineffective now, right? But it didn't happen. Yo, could have happened in the first turn of the first game, and it happened in the last turn of the last game.
It's better to be lucky than good.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I say I'll be repeating myself in the which they already listened to. But yeah, it was. There you go.
Well done, sir. Well, I really didn't know that, so that's excellent. Yeah. Another way you get a little trophy or something? Did Bruce want us a little on a
road? I didn't get a trophy, no. There was no there was a prize, but there wasn't a trophy.
What was the prize?
I got some Blackgate Miniatures demons.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you. Oh. Yeah. Excellent, sir. Yeah. Well done. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so the next episode should be the one about the changes.
Yes, yeah.
But I was talking to Alice today. It's still not 100% finalised. Right. Getting near.
Yeah, I had a look at it today. It's like there's, still this bug hunt still going on.
Because you have to do the bug hunt. I know it's annoying. Of course it is. And then you have to send it back out, make sure it's right.
Because
even after doing all this, you will still miss stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
Because even professional publishers miss stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's inevitable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Inevitable. But hopefully it'll be out, where are we now, mid-March, so by the end of March.
Okay.
So 2 weeks' time, hopefully we're recording the
big change episode. We'll go through all the army changes, and we could even say what wasn't changed. Like we could.
I guess so, because some of it could have been changed, but needed a bit more flexibility.
Exactly.
Just before we go, I've got to ask, you've got some kind of lighting ring now. This is new.
Okay.
And also it's got a camera mount.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So are you doing some painting videos?
No, but that's, that's what it's used for.
Well, I can see that's what it's used for. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go Duncan Rhodes on us?
No.
Two thin coats? Well, no. You have to think of a catchphrase.
Oh, no.
Did you know I was, he was painting epic shit.
Yeah, he was, yeah. That was an interesting episode, yeah.
Because it came up on my feed, because I don't normally watch him, but it must have been the epic drew him in, because I did watch a bit of, we've made a bit of contact for epic.
Yeah,
content so mm-hmm. came up.
Yeah,
and the miniatures look shit, even with him painting them, because they're horrible space marines with massive guns.
Yeah, yeah. But so it makes you see. So it makes you see what GW could do if they turn their mind to it. And apparently, like, so Adepticon's under a week away,
right?
And they've got obviously big reveals.
Have they?
It's like, well, the GW saying they've got big reveals. I mean, it's probably going to be 10th edition of 40k.
Oh, that's definitely coming.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, it's definitely coming, but is that going to get revealed at Adepticon?
It's Tyranids, isn't it?
Tyranids? Yeah, well.
Against Marines, obviously, because why wouldn't it be?
The the rolling juggernaut that is 40K, which is their cash cow, is like is going to have another edition, and it's all going to the site. It all just starts again. And
I don't even I think I played the last one.
Exactly.
Did we not play ninth? I think we played eighth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
It just comes and goes. So life moves on.
Exactly. Like as in, I'm playing Horus Heresy. Yeah, and that is as a game is so open to abuse. It's
ridiculous. Oh, they've got those crazy rocket launcher shit things for the massive. Look at the size of
them. Yeah.
I mean, looking back, it doesn't look that good, does it? Those rocket launcher things, or those heavy bolters. They look the same, didn't they? The big shoulder mounted.
They're nice sculpts, but yeah, they are.
No, I'm saying the weaponry.
The weaponry.
Especially when you look back at the epic models, the stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blocky, blobby fucking weapon.
Yeah, but Horus Heresy itself is just so open to abuse that you have to play people you know. Like, yeah, as in, so because.
Well, this is the whole problem with gaming, isn't it? You've got to play people you know. The unless it's a tournament game, playing tournament stuff is just mad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but anyway, my point is at Adepticon, the outside bet is it might be showing off a new version of Epic. Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Like, you know, nobody knows for sure, but it could be.
Well, that's interesting. Did they close down any Van Close stuff apart from the sci-fi stuff?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think so either. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're coming.
Yeah.
Maybe they're
because coming. Because, you know, like, that's always been the thing. It's like they did the same scale of Adeptus Titanicus and an Aeriorska Imperialis is like their 8mm scale, or whatever. Yeah, like, but they are in scale with each other. So, and the rumours are that they would be doing a new version of Epic, which might be Horus Heresy only. Like, you know, it's in. So.
But that's only Marines. It doesn't matter for anything else.
Yeah, but let's say it's the. Like those old, your point was that like those old Epic models look terrible, and no matter even in a great painter, still they still look bad.
Oh, it's only the heavy weapons that piss me off.
But it's like the and individuals can like sculpt, like they have designs which look fantastic.
Yeah.
So like GW could make a beautiful looking thing.
But you couldn't sculpt at 6mm back then. It just wasn't possible because you were doing it by hand.
Yeah.
And now that it doesn't matter if you sculpted at 50mm or 6mm, it's all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Technique.
Yeah, exactly.
So sticking the weapons up.
Who
a bit.
Knows? I mean, like, but there is definitely.
I'll be amazed if Epic comes back.
I'd love to see it. I'd be really interested, like, in what they do with it. You know, if they did it.
But there's no chance Warmaster's coming back until Epic's come back and been a success.
Exactly.
Because that's by comparison, the markets for Warmaster and Epic are just like. There's no comparison.
No, there's no. And we were having this chat on the Saturday, like, the run through of the. Salute table was that so at some point Warhammer the Old World, like they're redoing Warhammer, aren't they,
with Bretonians
and Tomb Kings
and I saw them and it's like, really?
Yeah, but it's but it's like if they pick 7th edition Warhammer or whatever, like but if they don't make any significant changes, it's still going to have the same problems Warhammer did. Like, you know, it's...
But you can't blame it on an addition. It's Games Workshop.
Yeah, no.
The same problems any Games Workshop game has.
Yeah.
Because they don't really try that hard.
Because some people are dead passionate that they say, like, that edition of Warhammer was a fantastic game, and it's like, not really.
Might have been slightly less bad for the army you played.
Yeah. It's like, but some people, well, I mean, whatever they do, however they release it, it would be a success because it would be a huge nostalgia buy for a lot of people.
But whether it's any good.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, because people are like, I was asked, like, yo, am I going to be playing that? And I said, to be honest, I'd have to see the rule set first. And it's like, I mean... Yeah, I'd have to see the rule set. What is the rule set like? Is it good? Is it bad? Has it got the same problems Warhammer would always did have?
You had a variety of different problems in different versions. Exactly. Is the problem? The problem is Games Workshop don't try hard enough to make a balanced game.
No, I'm not
saying it has to be like chess, but you have to at least try. Like when you look at Man of War, it's like you really didn't try very hard, did you? That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know they were giving it away with magazines and stuff, cards and that. Yeah. Maybe it was a different era. Maybe you look at it from different... If you put your just popcorn game glasses on, then you can play two or three games of it. I'm sure you can have fun.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
Of course you can. Especially if you're playing with someone that knows the rules.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was good fun, Paul.
Yep.
We're gonna pack up now, and then we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah, I expect to see some links. You could do some Warhammer podcast painting videos.
Not likely.
You've got nice enough phone.
Yeah, the audio quality was good. I suppose. It's not,
you know. But people might like it. Paint along with Paul.
Paint along with Paul.
There you go. Alliteration. For
maybe.
Paint along with Paul.
Like
him. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Listeners, tell him to do it.
Would you like to know more?